This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
It is the 6th of May today, Friday. Glad you're here as always, everybody. The big giant pile of, it's fine, economic number of the day today is 160,000. That is the number of people who got new jobs last month. Sudeep Reddy's had his job for a while. He's at the Wall Street Journal. Neil Richardson is at Redfin. They are both in our studios in Washington. The topic, of course, is the 5 days gone by. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
Hi, Kai.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm right, Sudeep. You've been there for a while, right?
I have been here for a while. That's a very great intro.
So, let's do jobs first, and then we'll move on to some other stuff. Give me, find me the silver lining, please, in this report.
The silver lining is that it's along the same trend that we've seen for a while. We did see job growth slow a bit if you look at the raw numbers, but if you realize the statistical noise around these figures, it was a single month's job number is not all that meaningful in a labor force of 159 million people, and we're basically on the same track for job growth. I'm a little concerned that the silver lining that we saw was that wage growth was 2.5%, which is we've been here before, and we haven't stayed around that level for very long before. So we are coming up to the 7th anniversary of this economic expansion.
I know, it's crazy, right?
And thought it was really a good sign that we saw 2.5% wage growth, and that's probably not a great sign.
As the president said today at his press conference, it's been 74 months and 14.5 million new jobs. Neela, I think Sudeep stole your silver lining, right?
Yeah, he often does that. But, you know, if you pair that with two kind of interesting pieces of data and research, one, that layoffs are on the rise, and two, that the economy is creating a lot of temporary and contract jobs, what you see, what the upshot is that, you know, the economy is creating more jobs, but they're riskier. And that does not translate into good consumer spending. So still some stuff to worry about.
And, you know, consumer spending upon which the economy rests. Sudeep, give me a very quick drive-by of Janet Yellen's brain right now.
Janet Yellen is looking at the world around her well beyond the job numbers. Lots of uncertainty around the world, political risk, the likes of which you have not seen before in several economies around the world, and turned up a notch in her own over the last week or so. Yeah. So she's got to think about all of that and not just what happened with the payroll report.
Neela, thoughts on Dr. Yellen or no? And no is a perfectly acceptable answer.
You know what? I'm thinking she's thinking, thank goodness it's Friday.
As are we all. All right. I want to turn actually to the thing that Sudeep was alluding to, the politics of the American economy today. Donald Trump went on CNBC yesterday, and they were having a conversation about U.S. debt, as Mr. Trump likes to do. And he was asked about some comments he's made in the past talking about renegotiating American debt. That is U.S. Treasury bonds, federal debt, and the whole full faith and credit thing. Here is what he said in response to that question.
I've borrowed knowing that you can pay back with discounts, and I've done very well with debt. Now, of course, I was swashbuckling, and it did well for me, and it was good for me and all that. And you know, debt was sort of always interesting to me. Now, we're in a different situation with the country, but I would borrow knowing that if the economy crashed, you could make a deal.
Sudeep, let's set aside for just a second the swashbuckling thing and talk about making a deal, that is giving U.S. bondholders, holders of U.S. Treasury debt, haircuts basically on their holdings. Make that make sense for me.
This discussion feels like it's a bizarre dream that we're supposed to wake up from at some point. I cannot wrap my head around what kind of president thinks this way about an economic crash and thinks it is a good idea to predict what you would do in an economic crash. And the prediction is that you would renegotiate the one financial security that is considered the financial security that is safest around the world. It is the underpinning of the global financial system. It is the underpinning of the global economy. And you don't just renegotiate it and think that you're going to come out of it come out the other side in a better position. It just doesn't work that way. This is not a hotel or a casino. That's not how it operates. So it's a little concerning that we're still discussing things this way.
Neela, if you were a bond trader, would you answer the phone when Mr. Trump calls to renegotiate?
No, I wouldn't. Fiscal debt and corporate debt are two entirely different things. And swashbuckling strategies on the corporate side may pay off, but on the fiscal side, it leads to financial ruin. And I'm surprised anyone would want to negotiate from a position of weakness, which is what this would lead to. It would lead to higher interest rates and increase the cost of our debt payment, increase the cost of consumer spending on houses and cars. It it would really lead to a lot of catastrophic financial events. And so as a creditor, I would say no to that deal.
Neela Richardson at Redfin, Sudeep Reddy at the Wall Street Journal. Thanks a lot, you two.
Thanks, Kai.
Thank you, Kai.